That's the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. Last 2 weeks, we look at the importance of acquiring wisdom from the Lord, from His Word. And that took us 2 weeks. Today, here in chapter 1, verse 10, we look at friendships, peer pressure, separation from the world. It's all kind of the same thing. But Proverbs actually has a lot to say about this. And so we're going to study it together this morning. So we'll look here in Proverbs chapter 1. As an introduction, we'll look at verses 10 through 16. So, Brother Scott, could you read that for us, please? And then we'll pray and get started.
My son, the sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us work privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one thirst. My son, walk thou, not thou, in the way with them. Refrain from foot in their path. For their feet run to the evil, and make haste to shed blood.
Amen. So you can see the theme here is part of living a life led by God's wisdom, God's understanding, is to avoid, as we see here, the way of the evil men, refrain thy feet from their path, and when they entice thee, consent thou not. So it's all about separation from evil, staying away from the paths of evil, and as we'll see, it also has a lot to say, Proverbs, about our friendships and choosing the right sorts of friends. So we'll pray and we'll get started and understand more of this together. Lord, we pray now as we continue studying this book that you would guide us in your truth and teach us things that would help us to serve you as effective children of our Savior. And I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to listen and learn. And Lord, that we would be changed by the power of your precious word. May Jesus be glorified in this study together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Does the world entice us? Yes, it does. If sin wasn't enticeable, then it wouldn't be a problem, would it? But it is. The world does entice us. Sin does entice us. And Solomon's advice is, my son, if sinners do entice you, what? Say no. Consent thou not. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So, yes, sin does entice us. And that's been true since the fall. But God says to not allow it to take place, but to turn the other way, if you will. We have Joseph as our example. Remember, he was enticed by Potiphar's wife. He didn't stand and say, I'm tough, I can handle this. He just turned and ran. And that's what God wants us to do. Consent thou not. So let's look at some scriptures on this together. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. Howard, if you could read that for us. And Philip, if you could read 12:26. And 16:29, Kelvin. So we'll start with 9:6. This has to do with the world enticing us with sin. So 9:6, 9:6.
Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding.
So notice, forsake the foolish and live. Okay. Oh, Philip. There's Philip. 12:26. The way of the wicked seduceth. You see that word, seduceth? And then 16:29, Kelvin.
Abundant man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him in the way that is not good.
So there we see the word enticeth. So again, entice, seduce. God says to avoid those things. And so one of the ways to live the life God wants us to live is to not allow the world, to not allow sin to entice us. And of course, it's only going to get worse as we get closer to the end, isn't it? especially now that we have the internet. God says in the New Testament, Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So the first piece of advice relative to this topic is consent thou not. He goes on to say, and then in verses 11 to 14, he talks about how the wicked, they come with their great stories and it sounds all attractive. But then Solomon stops and says, I considered these things. And let's look at that. Chapter 21, verse 12. He said, I stopped and thought and pondered. Notice 21:12. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. But God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. So he says the righteous, and if you're born again, you are one of the righteous, wisely consider. Stop and consider the house of the wicked. Yes, sin is enticing, but the righteous stop and consider, what are the fruits? What's the end result of yielding to that temptation? You know, God says in James chapter 1, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And we're going to have temptations. That's part of life, isn't it? James chapter 1, verse 2 says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. So we're going to have them, but God says that our response should be, I'm not going to succumb to the temptation. And if we don't, if we endure it instead, God says we're blessed. And then chapter 24, again, verses 30 to 34, we can see this pondering taking place. Brad, could you read those for us? So chapter 24, 30 through 34. So he said, I considered it. I saw his field all overgrown. Remember, in these days, farming was a huge part of everyone's economy. And he said, I considered it and said, I learned. By considering, as we saw here, considering the house of the wicked. So, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Back to our passage, Proverbs 1, verse 15. He says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. That word way is talking about the path of the wicked. He's saying, don't go with them and don't take that path. It's only going to lead to heartache and trouble. And he has a lot to say about it in chapter 4. So let's go there. Chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. Any more volunteers on this side before I start over? Thank you, Maggie. Could you read chapter 4, 14 and 19?
Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble.
The whole passage, 14 through 19. Sorry, I probably said it wrong. So in this passage, we see two key words, the word path and the word way. And that's what he's warning us about. Walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their, what, verse 15 of chapter 1, from their path. So avoid the path, avoid the way of the evil man. And this is Proverbs warning us about the dangers of the way, the path of the evil. because it's going to tempt us. And that doesn't go away. As we get older, been saved longer, the temptations always are there. And yet we have the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we have God's Word to help us. So let's look at some more scriptures on this. Refraining our foot from the path. Of course, Psalms 1. Let's go ahead and look at that. That's a great memory verse, by the way. Verses 1 through 3 of Psalms 1. We're singing it now sometimes. What's it say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So God's pronouncing a blessing on those who, what? Avoid the path, avoid the way of the wicked. This is a scriptural truth all throughout, like I said, Ephesians 5:11. So let's look at some more verses on this. Proverbs 18:5, Brother Scott. And Proverbs 22:5, Howard. Proverbs 28:10, Philip. 28:19, Jackie. 29:6, Doug. That should do us. All right, so 18:5.
Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad in calamity shall not be unpunished.
Proverbs 18:5. Now, I do that all the time.
It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment.
To accept the person of the wicked. 22:5, Howard.
Thorns and snares are in the way of the proud. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them.
Shall be far from them. You see that? And then Philip 28:10. Amen. And then 28:19, Jackie.
He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough.
Followeth after vain persons. And then 29:6, Doug.
In every transgression of the evil man is sin, but the righteous doth sin with joy.
So we see this theme. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse 10, verse 15 of chapter 1. Walk not on the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. God says to be aware, to see the path, the way of the wicked, and to stay away from it, to avoid it. We get to the New Testament, he says the same thing. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 6:17. James 1:27. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this. That what? Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. So God says to beware of the way of evil men, to refrain your foot. Chapter 12:11, let's turn there, where he says, don't follow after the vain persons. Don't follow after the foolish. Notice Proverbs 12:11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. And then chapter 14, verse 7, the same thing. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. So God says we have to be careful. And then chapter 22 and verse 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Learn thou not his ways, and get a snare to thy soul. So all of these warnings about avoiding the vain, avoiding the foolish, avoiding sin, avoiding the way and the path of the evil men. And then that brings us to friendship itself, choosing our friends wisely. Proverbs actually has a lot to say about this. So let's see what it has to say about friendship. Proverbs 13:20 is probably the best verse on this, that we need to choose our friends carefully. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be friendly, so I hope you understand. We are always to be friendly to our neighbors, to our workmates, to the lost. But when it comes to choosing our close friends, we need to be cautious and careful. Obviously, they should be Christians, but beyond that, what does God have to say? So let's look at it. 13, we'll just start over. So 13:20, Brother Scott, let's see what the Bible has to say about choosing friends.
He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
So in choosing our friends, we want to choose someone who's seeking wisdom from the Lord, someone who has the wisdom of the Lord. Then 17:17, we'll just do them in scripture order. Howard, could you read that for us?
A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity.
So another characteristic of a good friend is they love you no matter what. Amen? And we need that in a good friend. All right, 18:24, Philip, if you could read that for us. And we all know this to be true, that sometimes our friends are closer than our own family. And that's how it is, especially when we're Christians. And then 27:6. Brad, could you read that? 27:6. So what characteristics of good friends is this one? The wounds of a friend. What's he saying?
Tell you the truth.
Exactly. When
it
exactly. If they're a true friend, they're going to be honest when they see us doing something we shouldn't do, and they're going to tell us so. And he said, "The kisses of an enemy are deceitful." So a good friend isn't someone who sees you going off the rails and says, "Well, I love you so much, I'm just not going to say anything, and I'll just be here to support you." No, a good friend says, what you're doing is foolish. You need to stop. That's the wounds of a friend. And then verse 9 of chapter 27, it's the same thing. It says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by what? Hearty counsel. So a good friend will give you good counsel, going back to having wisdom. And then while we're in 27, look at verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. So what is that telling us about biblical friendship? That they do what for us, Jackie?
It means that you encourage each other in God's word and you become stronger in your faith.
Yes, they make you better, right?
They also hold you accountable, but they don't make you get away.
Right. So that's the wounds part, but here it says they sharpen us. So a good friend sharpens us, makes us a better person by being friends with them. So these are some characteristics that we should be careful to look for when we're choosing our close friends, that they are wise, that they love at all times, even when we're not perfect, which none of us are. They're closer than a brother. They give us faithful wounds when we need them. And they give us hearty counsel, and they sharpen us. Now, David had something to say about friendship in Psalm 119, verse 63, so we'll turn there. And again, he is basically saying that my first characteristic is going to be that they're a believer. Amen? That there's someone who is in agreement with me that I'm saved and I love Jesus. Notice Psalm 119, 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, talking about God, and of them that keep thy precepts. Isn't that a good verse? So I'm a companion, Lord. My friends are those who, number one, they fear God. But number two, they're doing their best to walk obediently. They're trying to obey God's word. They keep thy precepts. So these are God's guidelines for choosing friends. Someone who's saved, someone who's trying to live an obedient life, someone who loves at all times, someone who tells us when we're wrong, they're not afraid to tell us the truth, someone who gives us good counsel, and someone who sharpens us, makes us a better believer. All of this from God's Word. So much here about, first of all, avoiding the way, avoiding the path of the evil, but also very carefully choosing who we make our close friends. Remember, we saw there in 22, make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways. Do we slowly become like those that we associate with? Yes. That's why friendship is such an important thing to consider. And so we need to spend time with people that will make us better, not drag us down and drag us into sin. All right, so and then the last aspect of this is when it comes to the way of evil men, if you go to chapter 23, 17 and 18, God says that we aren't to envy the world or envy their way, envy their path. Is there a temptation sometimes as sinners to envy the world? Sometimes it's there. We see them essentially getting away with whatever they want to get away with. And we, from a material point of view, oftentimes they're more blessed. And if we're not careful, the devil whispers in our ear and says, see, they're better off. Now, of course, if they're going to go to hell, they're not very better off, are they? And that's when we need to be careful that we're not laying up treasures on earth, we're laying up treasures in heaven, and that we're living for then and not now. But the temptation's still always there. So notice 23, 17, and 18, we'll start there. And then we'll see this aspect of not envying the world and their sin. Calvin, you want to read those for us? 23, 17, and 18. Don't envy sinners. Amen? Let's see some more. 24, chapter 24, verse 1. Brother Scott, could you read that? And then Howard, 24, 19 and 20.
Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them.
And then 24, 19 and 20.
Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil men. The candle of the wicked shall be put out.
So God's saying, keep it in perspective. Keep it in a perspective of eternity. Amen? The devil wants us to only keep it in perspective of the temporal, of what we see here on earth. But as we all know, that's very short. And what matters is the Lord who has saved us, made us his children, that we're to be his followers. Does that mean we'll be rich, like prosperity theology teaches? In so many churches, does that mean we'll be rich and healthy? Not necessarily. But we'll be rich in the Lord, and we'll have the joy and the peace of the Lord, and we have heaven. We have a mansion waiting for us. God knows most of us can't handle riches. So he's not going to give them to us, even if we ask. But anyway, he says, don't envy them. So this is the other side of the coin. So he started off there in chapter 1. He says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. They're going to entice us. They're going to try to tempt us to disobey God's word and delve into sin. And then he goes on to say, beware of their path. Beware of their way. Observe it. Look at it. And avoid it. Stay away from it. And then be very careful when you're choosing your friendships that you choose them wisely. People that will make you a better Christian. And do not envy the lost. And the temptation will be there to do that very thing. So we're told to avoid the vain, avoid the foolish, avoid the angry. So that's kind of the other side of the friendship thing. Who to avoid and who to look for when when making good friends. So I didn't give you many opportunities to ask questions or comments, so go ahead. Comments, questions about avoiding the way of evil men, avoiding the enticement of the sin of the world, and peer pressure, and then, of course, choosing our friends wisely. Thoughts, questions, observations.
And avoid Satan at all times.
Thank you, Jan.
You're welcome.
Because he's a roaring lion, isn't he?
He sure is.
Any others? So choose your friends carefully. The sinful way is going to entice us. And when that happens, go to James and we'll finish in James. God says our response to that should be to rejoice. Because the word here in James chapter 1 is not the word trials, it's the word temptations. We often look at this passage, verses 2 to 4, and we change the word temptations in our mind to trials. But that's not what it's talking about. It says, rejoice, verse 2, when you fall into divers what? Temptations. Does the devil have a big arsenal of diverse temptations? Absolutely. God says when that happens, what should our response be? Count it all joy. Knowing this, and then the word trial comes in, that the trial of your faith, so temptations is one of the ways that our faith is tried, is it not? Every day, our faith is tried by temptations, but what does it do? It works patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. In other words, this is just another part of God's refining process in our lives, is that he allows us to be tempted with evil. He doesn't tempt us himself. We're told that on down in verses 13 to 15. But he allows us to be tempted. And when it happens, what are we supposed to do? Count it all joy. And then he pronounces the beautiful blessing of verse 12. Blessed is the man that, what? Endureth. That's the key. So we're going to be tempted. That's already given. If we succumb to the temptation, the blessing is not promised. But if we endure the temptation, and if we count it all joy, God says now we'll be perfected. That you may be perfect and entire, verse 4, wanting nothing. So it's another way that God perfects us is by allowing us to be tempted. And then when we endure the temptations, he says, blessed is that man that endure temptation. So, so much God has to say about this topic. Separation, friendships, peer pressure. Any thoughts or questions before we close? So some of the other topics we're going to look at. The tongue. Probably more in Proverbs about that than just about anything except the wisdom. Trusting God alone. A lot to say about money and finances and business dealings. Protecting the heart, a lot to say about marriage and raising children. So these are some of the things we'll be looking at as we walk through Proverbs. Thoughts or questions about friendships, peer pressure, the way of the evil man? Yes?
Just thinking how wisdom is the principal thing out of all of it, because without wisdom, then we can't make those correct decisions.
That's right. That's why he starts there.
Yeah.
You've got to start the beginning. It's fearing God, acknowledging that he's right, and reverence for him, and then the acquisition of wisdom, which is what we should be constantly doing, is gaining wisdom and understanding from God's word so that we can fulfill all these other things we're going to study. Any other questions?